Blog Talk Radio.
Sunny and cool outside, and I had an uneventful weekend. Still dealing with a lot of stuff. Actually, had a lot of business to take care of this morning, and did very proud of myself. I hope you had a good weekend as well. In the news, we have Trump's debacle. In North Korea and the fallout from Michael Cohen's testimony, but, you know, on the upside for him, his approval ratings with the Republican Party are through the roof. I mean, upwards of 90%. So I think that says more about where the country's at, or a certain segment of the country, than it does about Trump and his picadillos, because to have a man with such obvious flaws enjoy such a high approval rating is troubling, to say the least. But it goes to show, you know, what a lot of whites don't like to admit, that you know, white privilege is alive and thriving, and that's the bottom line. You know, there's no way to parse it. So we're expecting a cold spell this week. I basically got. Still negotiating with a contractor for the building that we want to rehab on the eastern shore of Maryland. And, you know, we'll probably get the guy to do it. He doesn't speak very good English, but, you know, it looks like he can do some work. I don't know how good it is, but, you know, as long as we can, you know, we don't fall through the floors or anything. I'm going to try to get with him after the show or later today or something like this. You know, a lot of moving parts to that. But if I can get him down there and get him working, you know, that might work for me, you know. The initial part of the project is just clearing the property. You know, the Eastern Shore, all along the Eastern Shore, not only Maryland or Virginia, you know, or the Outer Banks of North Carolina, you know, but all up and down, you know, I would say from Maine all the way down to the Keys. Because of global warming, the threat of global warming, which is it's a national security issue, we have to admit it. I mean, you know, we polluted ourselves into the situation, you know, with our over-reliance on fossil fuel. And don't get it twisted, man. I like my cars as much as the next person. But, you know, if I could save the planet by getting rid of them, man, they'd be gone in a heartbeat. And I tell you that, no forked tongue. That's the God's honest truth, man. They would be gone. I've driven electric vehicles, and they got some that are very powerful now. And I imagine at some point, you know, people are going to figure out how to tweak them. They already have. There's the Formula Racing has a division strictly for electric vehicles. So, you know, Formula Racing, you're talking about vehicles that can go upwards of 150 to 200 miles per hour. So, you know, the genie is already out of the box. China is threatening to take over the market. And if we don't get into it in a big way within the next 10 years, China will have full dominance over electric, and they're already doing a lot with solar and, as a matter of fact, to my girl's passing, we had a full array of solar panels put on a house, 48, which easily powers a house. Now, on a day that it's overcast, you know, obviously we're on a grid. But at some point in the future, you know, had there been a future with her, we would have gone to batteries and generators and that sort of thing to sort of be off the grid altogether. I think, God willing, that's what we'll probably wind up doing on the Eastern Shore. You know, once we get this 100-year-old building situated. You know, it's a very historic place down there, man. There's a lot of African Americans down there. You don't hear a lot about it because, you know, it's rural. I mean, it's the country. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, buts about it. You know, if you're not a tradesman, if you're not a fisherman, or, you know, in a profession, there is no work down there. I mean, there is no heavy industry or that sort of thing. So you have to have a trade to live down there. And, you know, or else you're dependent on a retail industry or things like that for a livelihood, which, you know, obviously doesn't pay a living wage. So, you know, our idea to do remotes from there, you know, all our equipment to be down there, where it's a lot cheaper than Brooklyn. I can tell you that, you know, in terms of taxes and you know, infrastructure and that sort of thing, just getting around, you know. And then from there, we plan on going, you know, being totally self-sufficient. But I don't know if we're going to, you know, remain in that area. We have other properties in the area. As a matter of fact, I'm supposed to call somebody later today or tomorrow or something like that. I got a lot of stuff that I got to get done this week. Most of it is done. Thank God I was, you know, I got out early this morning prior to the show and got the major thing done. So hopefully it's just a matter of finish negotiating with this contract to see if I can get him down there and doing the work that I need him to do. So I'm going to shoot him an email, you know, because like I said, his Spanish his English is rough and my Spanish is rougher. On another note, there's an expose out, you know, the HBO, you know, went on. I guess their lawyers gave them the green light to broadcast an explosive expose on Michael Jackson, where the three boys, and, you know, there were always rumors that were abounding about this. Matter of fact, I was living in Detroit. We used to have a, I don't know what you would call it, a jam session or something like that. Really missed it, man. We would sit around and, you know, not really doing a lot of drinking, but, you know, other things, you know, it was some intellectual type, you know, people from all walks of life, college dropouts, you know, much like myself at the time, you know, it's going back 20 years. One of the guys, you know, I don't know if he thought at Wayne State or one of the other schools in the area, say we were all poised to believe that Michael Jackson was a freak. I mean, it was so funny. I mean, we used to have so much fun, man. I missed those sessions, you know. It was just great, man. You know, we were all generations. You know, I was a young fellow at the time, but the guy I used to hang with was younger. The girl I was dating at the time was much older than me, you know. And those guys were in their 40s and 50s at the time, you know. So it was a nice mix. You know, everybody just sitting around, doing whatever it is they did and just talking, man. I mean, I really miss that. I never experienced anything before or after like that. You know, I think that when we do get down to the Eastern Shore, there's a lot of post-secondary educational institutions down there, and And I think I'm going to attempt, at the very least, to, you know, just a casual, you know, just a casual session, you know, where, you know, a couple of, you know, the faculty, whoever, you know, chooses to come, you know, hang out and, you know, play cards and, you know, break bread or whatever, you know. We got to get that yard cleaned up over there. You know, it's kind of rough. The whole area is you know, it's, I would say because of the lack of heavy industry, heavy manufacturing, that sort of thing, and you know, concomitantly, lack of jobs, you know, it's an impoverished area. You know, it's not unusual to see somebody in their 50s, you know, riding a bike. And not because they're concerned about the environment, it's because they can't either afford a car or, you know, it might be other things involved there, you know, but then I'd be speculating. So, you know, it's an interesting dynamic, but I just like it. It's something that, you know, draws me to the area, you know. Harriet Tubman spent a lot of time down there, and there's an actual museum that's the National Park Service is dedicated to her, and I haven't been to it, but you can trust and believe, as soon as I get this situation squared away, I'll take my kid down there. I love stuff like that, and I'm trying to expose him to it. I remember, you know, when we were very young, you know, we were, my mother's sister lived in Pennsylvania, right outside of Philly, suburb of Philadelphia. And so we would go walking like twice a year. And I remember going to the George Washington Carver Museum at the time, you know, the guy that, you know, derived all these products from peanuts and, you know, to take from his legacy now, and, you know, all this food allergies, you know, namely, you know, peanuts, but at the time, you know, it was something to behold. And so, you know, there's another museum down in Maryland, the Banneker Museum, Benjamin Banneker, the, you know, the famous, you know, mathematician and, you know, surveyor and that sort of thing. You know, black, obviously. So they have a replica of his house and, you know, some artifacts that were donated by them. So there's still a lot of history up over there, too, in that part of Maryland, you know, throughout Maryland, but I think more on the Eastern Shore. And I think that when you're living in an area like that where you're actually in history or actually living in a historic area, you don't really appreciate it, you know. You just don't. I mean, you know, it is human nature. You know, if it's not, you know, shiny with all the bells and whistles, you just, which is why I don't, you know, a couple of contractors tell me, we don't want to rehab the property. And, you know, it's not your decision. It's my decision. You know, I have, you know, a lot of properties down there, and we need to, we've been talking about this for a number of years. We need to locate, the business, East New York Management. And by the way, if you want to see what we do, go on our website. I haven't updated in a while because I've been involved in a lot of stuff. I just, you know, I have to go on it either today or, well, probably Wednesday. I have a lot of things to do, and I want to take a ride down there, and I have to talk to this woman that's trying to sell me more land, actually 9 acres. But she wants a bundle for it, and it's not worth it. She called me last night, so I have to give her a call. Very elderly, like 99. And so I'm going to stop by her house and touch bases with her and then another buddy of mine who's in his 80s. All these octogenarians and ninetagenarians, you know. I mean. And I think that, again, is a function of the of the area, even though there's a lot of big box stores in the area. At one point, you know, these people, you know, I don't want to say they lived off the land, they didn't, but, you know, they lived as relatively close to nature as possible, and they still ate the the garbage that they sell in the supermarkets than I do. So I'm not, you know, excusing myself from that. But, you know, my plan is, and, you know, to become closer with nature, just, you know, all this foolishness, all this, you know, and I talked about this either last week or the week before last about, you know, math and a lot of material. And you can't take this stuff with you. My girl left and left all her stuff here. There was not a moving truck following her, you know, to wherever she went. You know, friendships, relationships, that sort of thing, those are your most important things. And I, you know, you have to cherish them. You know, you really, really do. And if you find that they're toxic or they don't work for you, then you have to eliminate them from your life. It's that simple. It really doesn't take a thesis or a dissertation to know that. You know, it's not pop psychology. It's just common sense, you know. Take that which is positive, foster and nurture it, and that which is not, you eliminate it. It is that simple, you know. And this is what I try to teach my son. He's in a negative environment right now, and I can't, you know, go through it with him. So I want him to learn on his own. When he recognizes the deprivation he is being confronted with on a daily basis overwhelms him, then at that point, you know, maybe he'll realize that daddy was right, and he'll do what he needs to do. You know, until that point, I'm prepared to wait. You know, I can love my child and definitely love him from a distance. I'm not an absentee daddy, but you know, at some point you have to cut your losses and, you know, want to get my child and then, you know, and then have to cut his hair or something that is, you know, the person that he's with should be doing on a routine basis. And, you know, it's just, you know, something, you know, beyond other things, you know, the four schools and, you know, his inability to, not inability, but his lack of accomplishment, let me put it that way. So, you know, so like I was talking to a friend of mine, you know, I'm just going to, you know, at some points in your life, and I'm at that point, I'm in this season where not being selfish, but just focusing on what I need to do. You know, as I enter retirement, I'll be in retirement in, you know, less than 10 years. You know, and I don't know if I'm going to retire in 10 years, but I know that I'll solidly be within retirement age at that point, and I might not feel like continuing with the business. I don't know. It depends, you know. You know, it depends on how much I have saved for my child, and it depends on finances. So, you know, let's be honest about it, you know. You know, I have a life insurance policy. I don't know when that terms out. And so, you know, when you're, the older you get, you know, the more expensive that stuff is because, you know, they're looking at, you know, they have the whole science of, the, you know, the component of mathematics, actuary science that deals with that. You know, what your odds are of being around, you know, X amount of years and, you know, your credit, and there's a lot of factors, a lot of moving parts in that, you know, determines how much room. Because when they quoted me a price, you know, to convert my current policy to whole life, I was like, I am not paying that. And now it might even be more, you know. So that's a major concern because certainly, you know, being single, I don't have anyone to depend on. You know, in the event that something were to happen to me and my child needs to be taken care of. But he wouldn't get anything until he was 18, so he'd just have to stay over there who he's with. But at that point, he could hit the ground running, you know, and it'd be up to him. I dated a girl in Detroit when I was in Detroit, you know, with the, you know, hanging out with the group I was telling you about. And, you know, this was before I, you know, I was seeing this other woman that would go to these sessions with us, and we'd sit around and talk and just have fun, immense fun. And she was adopted. It was just a weirder situation, you know. But I can understand it. So she was adopted, and her parents, you know, adopted parents, had divorced or separated and then eventually divorced. And the father had remarried. So long story short, the father had passed away. She had just finished Michigan, University of Michigan, or was up here, Michigan State University School of Medicine. And apparently had some means. He had some consignment shops, what we know as thrift shops, here in New York. And had quite a few of them. So it was her and her brother. They weren't twins, but they were, you know, clearly, you know, biological siblings. And I remember him coming in one day and giving me some money. And you know me, I'm not nosy. I've never been this type of person, which is why this whole situation that I'm enduring now is so confounding to me, because if it is not my business, I don't want to know. So he handed me a wad of money and told me to give it to her. And told her it's from thrift store. So apparently they were accessing the stores and selling whatever they need to get by. But they had an apartment that the father apparently left for them, and they had, you know, like food in the refrigerator, in the freezer, that was dated, you know, for, you know, I guess freshness, you know, eat it in. Yeah, you know, it was just an interesting situation. And they were, you know, they were young adults. We were all, I was older than her, obviously, by about 10 years. But she was in her early 20s, and I, you know, I was probably in my early 30s. As a matter of fact, wasn't. I was in my early 30s. I was solidly 10 years older than her. And it was just, it was a great, 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 you know, to see how, you know, you can keep going if the person is responsible. And that's what I want to be to my child, you know, because we're not going to all be here, you know, forever. And, you know, we have to prepare. So that's my major concern now. So, you know, I'm just taking this time now, and I don't know how long it's going to be, how long the season is going to be. Some seasons are very short, and others are quite long. So I'm just prayerful and receptive to whatever the good Lord has in store for me. But you know, certainly my focus is on, you know, ensuring that the business, you know, East New York management is solvent, profitable, and continues to grow. And you know, we have some, and I told you that we will share it with the listening audience at some point. In the future, we have plans to grow the business, but we need to get these projects, or at least this one major project done. And like I said, I have to. It's a money issue. The guy wants to talk dollars and cents, but you know, it's like I don't really negotiate through email, but you know, he can't speak English. You know, and I think this is the problem. I just want to share this as an aside. I think the major problem that a lot of people, especially white ethnics, I you know, I my Spanish should be much better than it is. I grew up in New York City, suburbs thereof, and went to college in New York, and I should really be fluent. I really shouldn't. At some juncture, I'm going to take a trip to either Panama or South America and just spend an extended amount of time there. I was thinking about Brazil, but the problem with Brazil is that they don't speak Spanish as the primary language. They speak it as a secondary language. Their primary language is Portuguese. I don't want to learn Portuguese because it's not widely spoken in Spanish. And just spend enough time there. I figure, you know, immersion, it'd take me about 3 months. Immersion, fully immersed in the culture. And just get my fluency up. But anyway, talking about this contract. You know, I think this is what angers a lot of white ethnics, you know, that, you know, the Hispanics come to the United States, and they live in their cloistered communities where they're, even in New York, here in New York, I mean, you don't have to speak English. If you don't want to, you literally do not have to speak English. And that's why they're able to come over here and not assimilate, but to earn a living and to feed their families and not ever speaking, uttering a word of English. I kid you not. And this is what this guy, it's just incredible. And I think they do themselves a tremendous disservice. When I was in college in Europe, every country I was in, man, I attempted to learn a few phrases, to let them know I would at least try, So that's where I'm at with that, and I just I'm encouraged, hopeful, and I pray that you are as well. So continue listening to Marketing Pulpit MPI. We have co-hosts from Mondays through Saturdays, and you find it instructive and creative and productive ways to grow your business. Have a great weekend and a blessed one.